If the congregation will please stand and turn to face the light of Christ.
Many ages after God created the heavens and the earth, when man and woman were formed in God's image, long after the great flood, when God set the rainbow in the clouds as a sign of the covenant, 21 centuries from the time of Abraham and Sarah, 13 centuries after Moses led God's people to freedom, 11 centuries from the time of Ruth and the Judges, 1,000 years from the anointing of David as king, in the 65th week as Daniel's prophecy takes note, in the 194th Olympiad, the 752nd year from the founding of the city of Rome, the 42nd year of the reign of Octavian Augustus, in the sixth age of this world, all earth being at peace, Jesus Christ, eternal God, Son of the eternal Father, willing to hallow the world by his coming in mercy, was born of the Virgin Mary in Bethlehem of Judea. Today is the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, God made flesh.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, you made this holy night shine with the brightness of the true light. Grant that here on earth we may walk in the light of Jesus' presence and in the last day wake to the brightness of his glory. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. Well, Merry Christmas. It's nice to be able to greet you that way. It's been a long time, it seems, as we prepare and make way, make room for this Christmas season. Our very best to you and to your families and to those who actually may be here tonight for the very first time. Welcome to St. John's. We are thrilled to have you. To all of our guests, we hope that you will find tonight to be just a place of warmth and of peace and where our hearts might be ready to receive our Lord and Savior. I'm Rhodes Woolley, the pastor here at St. John's, but at the same time, I join with lots of folks in extending a cordial greeting to you for this blessed time of year. If you'd like to talk more about this congregation, or if this place might be a fit for you, if you're looking for a home congregation, we'd love to chat with you about it. But for now, we'd love to focus our hearts and our minds on God's holy word. So let's turn our attention there.
The first reading is from Isaiah. The prophet writes, "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. For a child has been born to us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His authority shall grow continually, and there shall be endless peace for the throne of David and his kingdom. He will establish and uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time onward and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this." The word of the Lord.
Stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and ever pining, till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Christ was born. Oh, night divine, oh, night. Oh, night divine. Truly he taught us to love one another. His law, his love, and his gospel, his peace. Chains shall he break, for the slave is our brother. And in his name all oppression shall cease. Sweet hymns of joy in grateful chorus raise we. Let all within us praise his holy name. When Christ was born, oh, night divine.
The second reading is from Titus. Paul writes, "For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all, training us to renounce impiety and worldly passions, and in the present age to live lives that are self-controlled, upright, and godly, while we wait for the blessed hope and the manifestation of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. He it is who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify for himself a people of his own who are zealous for good deeds." The word of the Lord.
Our Holy Gospel is from the second chapter of St. Luke. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. Now in that region there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone all around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. For to you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." And when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in a manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds, they returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. This is the gospel of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. So it is good to welcome each and every one of you, and a Merry Christmas to you all. I hope that these next few days will just be very, very special for you and blessed in your own way, whether you're joining with family or friends or visiting from out of town or wherever you may be, then we hope that this time of Christmas will be a blessed time for you, and certainly this time of worship as well. But 2 weeks ago, I pulled up at the gas station and, to buy gas, obviously, pulled up to that gas pump, and I opened up my wallet to put in the credit card, and I had that sinking feeling that we've all had before, or at least a lot of us have had maybe. My credit card was gone. Panic sunk in, right? I didn't know what to do. I started searching for anything and everything. In fact, the next thing I looked for was my ID, and guess what? It was gone too. The ID, the credit card, gone. For the next, few moments, it seemed like hours, I was searching through the car underneath the seats, behind the seat, anywhere I could go. I finally went home. I couldn't find anything there. I went to the office. I couldn't find anything there. And the whole time, I'm sort of just assuming or jumping to conclusions. I called Krista to see if she knew anything about it. She didn't know anything about it. I was jumping to conclusions about, some kind of ring of credit card thieves who have just come into the area and started stealing everyone's credit cards. And these guys were pretty smart, right? Because they stole your credit card, but then they also stole your ID, but they didn't mess with anything else in my wallet. None of the cash was gone. Nothing else was gone. So it was, it would have taken me a while to figure out until I pulled up into the gas station and realized. And so I had all of this just sort of the conclusions that I had drawn up about this ring of thieves. I stepped into Ruth Ann's office, our business manager, who is right next to my office, and of course started to complain to her, and she said immediately, you need to call right away. It's going to take a while, and I knew it's going to take a while to get a new credit card and a new ID, a driver's license, whatever else, and you need to call right away, she said, and that's true. So I pulled out my phone to call. Exactly. And that's when we both started laughing, because right there was my ID and my credit card, right? Right in this really nifty little pocket that you put on the back of your phone, right? It's just the perfect place for that little credit card and ID attached right there. Funny, isn't it? How in a matter of minutes, sometimes in a matter of seconds, we make things far more complicated than they ever need to be. This is my 22nd time preaching a Christmas Eve sermon. And there are two people in this sanctuary who have had to endure every one of them. Krista, my wife, and Carter, my son. And you can console them afterwards if you like. And I have to confess, and they would probably be the first to agree, that each time I feel a little bit of pressure to preach your best sermon. I don't know why, but you just sort of feel that way. To find that perfect angle, as if you haven't heard the story before, many of you, and is there anything else to pull out or draw out of this story? Who knows? To find that perfect place, that great story maybe that no one else has heard, that hasn't made its way around the email chains for all over the place. It's a legit concern, I have to admit. I mean, I know that some of you are here tonight for the only time, maybe at St. John's. Maybe some of you are here for the first time. Maybe some of you are giving the church just one more chance. I don't know. Which just adds to the pressure, I have to tell you, to go that extra mile. I don't know, to jazz things up. Maybe to sing a little solo. Of course, now I'm not going to, now that Alex sang the solo. And of course, I don't know why I even thought about that, but of course, to make things more complicated than they need to be, which is too bad, because if you get right down to it, the Christmas story is pretty doggone simple, isn't it? I mean, God came down from heaven to take on our human form to show us just how much God loves us. That's pretty much it. That's all you got. I mean, of course, I know there's a little bit more to it than that, some more details perhaps to the story, but that's pretty much the core of the message. I mean, when God looked out over all of creation and saw how dark and difficult our days had become, how confused people had become about their identity, and how many painful things we were doing each other out of our confusion and out of our insecurity. And so God decided to do something about it. And after sending the law and the prophets to no avail, God decided to get involved personally and intimately, to get involved by stooping down from heaven, by taking human form. And what Eugene Patterson says, and I think a brilliant sort of turn of phrases, to move into the neighborhood. Jesus moves into the neighborhood. Why? Because he loves us so much. It's pretty simple, right? Don't you think? Except that, true to form, we humans, we've complicated all of that message. We've complicated his intentions, even. I mean, we've created stories and theories and worries and anxieties that God came with other intentions and other interests in mind. I mean, I don't know, we've drawn elaborate conclusions that God came to punish us, first and foremost, to threaten us, to scold us, to frighten us, whatever it is, all the other things that are so often attributed to God, all along forgetting that very simple message of Christmas, that God came to tell us that we are loved, that we are deeply loved, you and me, and that this love is for everyone. And for those who think that this love is exclusive, or that it's just for some and not for others, I mean, come on, give me a break. Think about the first people he told, right? An unwed teenage mom, shepherds that nobody else wanted to hang around, astrologers, who we call wise men, but they were astrologers, really, who were practicing an entirely different religion. I mean, these were the most unexpected of people to have been told this message first, before anyone else, which is the point. I mean, God didn't want to leave anybody behind. No one. I mean, it didn't matter whether or not the world thought you were important or lovable, or whether you were unimportant or unlovable. It didn't matter. God absolutely refused to leave anybody behind in saying this: you are loved. It's that simple. On Friday, just 2 days ago, I visited Sadie Grace Gephardt, who has the distinction of being the youngest member of our family here at St. John. She was born on Wednesday, a healthy little girl, beautiful little girl. Now, she was born a month early, so her lungs are still developing a little bit. She's small, but she's beautiful. And Corey and Jennifer and I, the parents, Corey and Jennifer, whenever we went to go visit her, she's still in the nursery. We walked in the nursery and it was darkened. It was peaceful. It was beautiful. She was on her back, so quiet and sleeping. There was a heat lamp above her, so of course she was sleeping. I mean, I'm sure she'll want to lay like that for the rest of her life. But she truly was gorgeous. And I have to admit to you, I suddenly became overwhelmed. I mean, if what we believe about God is true, and I believe with all of my heart, soul, and mind that it is, but if it is true, then suddenly I became amazed that this God of the universe, that this God of all time and of all space, that this God of every planet and of every corner of this earth that has welcomed billions of babies throughout its history, that our God chose to come into this particular community, this particular hospital, that this God chose to go into this particular nursery and to this particular family, in something that was particularly amazing, and to welcome this particular child into his story. I mean, a story that has persisted throughout all of time. He chose this particular child, one of so many. This child who has done nothing to deserve anything or to earn anything, much less God's love. That he has welcomed this child into his story, a story of amazing love. He's chosen to weave her into a story that is millions of years in the making. And all I could say was that as a church, well, we're going to do whatever it takes to walk alongside those parents and to help Sadie know of God's love deep in her heart. And that it's the kind of love that if she'll accept and if she'll embrace it and if she'll share it, my goodness gracious, it's going to change her life and it's going to change the life of this world. Which, if you get right down to it, that's all the angels were trying to tell the shepherds, right? I mean, that unto you is born this day. Did you hear that? Unto you is born God's gift of love. Turn to your neighbor and say, unto you. Come on. Unto you. Those are stunning words, right? I mean, think about that for a moment. You see, I mean, of course, the miracle of Christmas isn't just that Jesus was born, but that he was born for you. That's amazing. My first job in ministry, other than as a camp counselor, was as a youth director at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Columbia, South Carolina. I loved that job. Great kids, great parents, adults who were helping out early on. I was told about this kid, this middle school boy, who was sure to be at every single youth meeting. He wasn't going to miss a time, and he was going to be at every worship service. He was going to be at every single event that we sponsored. Didn't matter what we were doing, he was going to be there. He was a brown-headed, blue-eyed kid who seemed a bit shy, a little bit skittish, maybe a little bit, not maybe a little, a lot awkward around people, and particularly around adults, but that was okay. He was gentle in every other way possible. You see, he had just recently been living, started living with his grandmother, which was a good thing because she provided a good home, thank God, because this boy had spent far too many years in an abusive family, beaten up whenever his father felt like it, degraded, stripped of his identity, unloved. He lived in what Bruce Springsteen called the darkness on the edge of town. It was a very sad story. But this boy knew something that sadly a lot of folks don't know. You see, he knew, despite all of that, he knew that there was one place in his life where he was safe. He knew that there was one place in his life where he could be fed and nourished, that where he could be loved and where he could be cared for, where he could find his true identity. And he found that place around an altar. He found it sitting in pews, playing ping pong and in a youth room, receiving the hugs of his Sunday school teachers and of his youth group advisors. And it was true. Every time the door of the church opened up, this kid was the first one through those doors, being wrapped in the swaddling clothes of God's amazing love. You know, I'm not sure why you are here tonight, but I can tell you why God is here. Because he wants to wrap you in those same swaddling clothes of faith. To tell you, to remind you that you are deeply loved. It's as simple as that. At Christmas time, I often remember my friend Jeannie Lindemann, who happened to be Dave Roof's first cousin. Where's Dave? Right there is Dave. Jeannie was my children's choir director when I was growing up. She was just out of college. It helped that she was sort of cute, I have to admit, but she was also a gifted musician and an incredible organist and a pianist. We just loved having her at my church when I was young. Jeannie developed Hodgkin's disease in the mid-1980s that made it impossible to play the piano for a while because of the tremors in her hands. Thankfully, the disease went into remission, and she was able to complete a degree at Westminster Choir College, and she married, she began a family. She served as a music director at a Lutheran church around the Norfolk, Virginia area. And that's when we reconnected, when I was serving a congregation in Virginia, and we were able to reconnect there. Still one of the loveliest ladies I've ever met in my life. Unfortunately, while she was there, her cancer reappeared and her prognosis was not good at all. I remember vividly, as if it was yesterday, I remember Jeannie telling me once that the best part of her day was actually at nighttime when she and her kids and husband would crawl up in bed and they would sing songs together. Each night, she made sure that they would sing hymns of faith because she knew that those hymns would carry them through the dark days that were to come. And sure enough, one Saturday night, the night before the first Sunday of Advent, Jeannie died. The dawn from on high broke upon her and wrapped her in the swaddling clothes of God's love. Now, through it all, Jeannie was a a remarkably faithful woman, mom, friend, wife. But the most beautiful testimony of faith came from her beautiful daughter, Anne Marie, as I recall, a second grader at the time, who that next morning went to her church and sang as a member of her children's choir, O Come, Emmanuel, a song that she had sung in her mother's bed the night before. I'm not sure why you are here tonight, but I'd like to make something very, very clear, that in the midst of a world that can feel so complicated and sometimes so very dark, surrounded by a message of faith that I will be the first to admit can seem sometimes utterly confusing, the message of Christmas is very, very simple. You are loved. It's God's gift to you. You didn't earn it. You probably didn't deserve it. It's a gift. You are loved. Now, our gift to God will be to share that gift with others. So why don't we do that? Why don't we make a commitment today to walk out of this place and do just that, to share that gift with everyone we meet? Friends, may God bless you and keep you in his love. Amen.
Joined together through the waters of baptism, let us confess our faith with the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father, through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven, and he is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Rejoicing in the light of Christ made flesh, let us pray for the church, those in need, and all of God's creation. Blessed Lord, with hearts full of thanks, we give you praise for your great gift of grace. We stand amazed that you would become one with us, taking human form and living in our midst. Fill us with the spirit of joy, expressing your love and compassion to others. Lord, in your mercy. Holy Lord, we bring to the manger our hope for the well-being of creation, that every valley be exalted and every rough place be made plain, so that all living things may flourish. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious Lord, we bring to the manger a vision of peace and pray that nations, tribes, and peoples of this world will see and treasure the very image of Christ, the Prince of Peace, in each other. Let there be peace in Jerusalem, Yemen, South Sudan, and in all the war-torn places of the earth. Lord, in your mercy. Holy Shepherd, we come to the manger along with sisters and brothers all over the world. In these times of great change and uncertainty, we pray for those who are entrusted with leadership. Grant wisdom, courage, integrity, and an eagerness to serve and serve the common good to all who wield power. Lord, in your mercy. Merciful Lord, we bring to your manger our concern for those who have no place to rest their heads. We come begging that the child for whom there was no room will open the doors of our hearts to the needs of our neighbors and ourselves. We pray for those who dwell in the shadow of loneliness, despair, illness, or death. We pray especially for those we name before you or in the silence of our hearts. Lord, in your mercy. Blessed Savior, we bring our thanks for the gifts of community and family, even when the gift feels distant or unrealized. Strengthen bonds of love and bring healing and hope to places of discord. In your divine goodness, bind us together as a community of faith. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty Lord, we bring to the manger the hope and dreams of all the years, the promises and prophecies fulfilled, that with Mary and Joseph, angels and archangels, and loved ones of every time and place, we might join in a common song that unites heaven and earth. We pray especially for loved ones who have gone before us into your light and love. Lord, in your mercy. Into your outstretched arms, O God, we commend ourselves and all for whom we pray, trusting in Jesus Christ, the light and life of the world. Amen. And now let us share the peace of the Lord. The peace of the Lord be with you.
Amen.
Let us pray. Good and loving God, we rejoice in the birth of Jesus, who came among the poor to bring the riches of your grace. As you have blessed us with your gifts, let them be a blessing for others. With the trees of the field, with all earth and heaven, we shout for joy at the coming of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ. In the wonder and mystery of the Word made flesh, you have opened the eyes of faith to a new and radiant vision of your glory, that beholding the God made visible, we may be drawn to love the God whom we cannot see. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. You are the beginning and the end, the giver of life, and so blessed are you for the birth of creation. Blessed are you in the darkness and in light. Blessed are you for your promise to your people. Blessed are you in the prophet's hopes and dreams. Blessed are you for Mary's openness to your will. And blessed are you for your Son Jesus, the Word made flesh. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body. It's given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup. When he had given thanks, he gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. It's shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this in remembrance of me." And so, as often as we eat of this meal, we proclaim the mystery of faith that Christ has died, Christ is risen, and Christ will come again. And with this bread and cup, we remember your word that is dwelling among us, full of grace and full of truth. And we remember our new birth in his death and resurrection, and we look with hope for his coming again. O God, we long for your Spirit. Come among us. Bless this meal. May your word take flesh in us. Awaken us, O Lord. Fill us with your light and bring the gift of peace upon this earth. All praise and glory are yours, Holy One, Word of God, incarnate, power of the Most High, one God, now and forevermore. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Our communion this evening is by intinction. We will invite you to come down the center aisle and receive a piece of bread, and it may be dipped or intinct into the wine or the grape juice, whatever is your choice. If you prefer or need gluten-free elements, then they are available as well. Just let that be known. The table of the Lord is ready for you and me. So friends, unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Christ, the Lord. As we learn to accept his love, as we learn to embrace his love, may we now go to share that love with all the world. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.
In peace, to love and serve the newborn King.